The engine core is completely inactive.
That's impossible. The Romulans use an artificial quantum singularity as their power source. Once it's activated, it can't be shut down.
Let's take a closer look.
That is a scene from Star Trek The Next Generation, a TV show that had to figure out how to make spaceships rocket across galaxies at breakneck speed. In fact, science fiction often delves into the complexities of physics, from the nature of space travel to the mysteries of black holes, and it's made Leo Durand wonder just how much he understands about the science in science fiction.
You're learning about physics this hour, but not me. I'm bad at physics, and I blame Star Trek. I'm not ashamed to say I like science fiction, mostly TV shows. Starting in elementary school, I watched Star Trek The Next Generation every week. As a little kid, it was nice to imagine that growing up had a bright future with neon drinks, a holographic playground, and an android who said the darndest things.
I have found that the quantum flux in Worf's cellular RNA extends to the subatomic level. It is asynchronous with normal matter. In essence, Captain, Mr. Worf does not belong in our universe.
What?
I also felt smart watching it, because I got an intro to how time and space worked, even though plain old high school physics escaped me. So, where did sci-fi lead me astray?
As a member of the Science Fiction Fantasy Writers of America, I'd be remiss in telling you, do not get your science from science fiction.
Michael Cassatt is a sci-fi writer, mostly for TV, and a columnist for Sci-Fi Weekly.
You know, that's like the warning on the package. Do not try this at home. You go to science fiction that has a scientific bent. You go there to explore some ideas. Wouldn't it be wonderful if? It's just a branch of fantasy.
As a kid, it's easy to fantasize about a world yet to come. But then again, many things seem possible, even plausible. If there's a chance Santa Claus could exist, couldn't transwarp cores and transporters just as easily?
I've never seen anything like this. There's something in here that looks like a molecular phase inverter.
What's that?
It's supposed to change the structure of matter so it can pass through normal matter and energy.
See, to me that sounded possible, if not now, then at least in the near future. Something that can allow matter, even people, to walk through walls. But even when big words are thrown around, Cassatt says writers aren't worried about scientific fact. They need to get the story right. For example, Cassatt wrote an episode of the show Stargate SG-1, where a couple of spacecraft could leave the Earth's atmosphere without the force of gravity affecting the pilots. Sounds interesting, but even the characters weren't too sure how that worked.
If you don't have the science and the rules of the game worked out before you get to a scene, you're probably in trouble with a science fiction or science fiction story. Is it possible? Are we going faster than light or not? Are we using time travel or not? Those kinds of things. But that said, most of it is still BS.
Does it matter whether sci-fi gets science wrong? I went to Lawrence Krauss, a physicist at Case Western Reserve University. He's written several books, like The Science of Star Trek and Fear of Physics.
Science fiction is telling stories, and I've been on programs with well-known science fiction writers who've said, really, the science is secondary. What is most important about science fiction is that it tells a good story. Of course, in general, I'd like them to get the science right, but I don't mind suspending disbelief as long as the plot is good.
Thinking back to many of the episodes, that's about right. The science words were just jargon, but more or less road signs to help me follow the story. But what do they really mean? Here's one episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and in it, there are these temporal disturbances, which are kind of like invisible bubbles in space. If someone is in one, time can slow or accelerate or stop altogether. But Captain Picard needs to figure out a way to move around without being affected.
Mr. LaForge, what about a subspace force field? Like the one we used on Dividia 2. Could something like that protect us from the effects of the temporal fragment?
Possibly. But we need an awfully sensitive phase discriminator in order to moderate that kind of field.
Is there a real thing called subspace?
No, there isn't. In fact, it's one of the plot devices used by Star Trek, because the problem, of course, is that space is pretty big. So one of the things they invented was subspace, these extra dimensions, an infinite number of extra dimensions, where they can send radio signals and other things that actually sort of take shortcuts through the extra dimension and get back home quickly.
What about a phase discriminator? I don't even know what that means.
Well, that's good that you don't know what it means, because it's invented there to sound good. In Star Trek, it's called technobabble, and that is one of the best examples of technobabble. The words phase and discriminator both mean things, and in fact, in electromagnetic radiation theory, you can talk about the phase of an electromagnetic wave, but in this context, it's just jargon.
If people are getting smarter about physics, though, maybe their knowledge of science is evolving. Are shows getting more realistic then? In one scene from Battlestar Galactica, the new one, not the old one, a nuclear bomb goes off in one of the ships.
Well, actually, when I saw that clip, the first thing that hit me is it's the same problem that Star Trek happens. It's one of the most basic mistakes. The movie Aliens got it right. In space, no one can hear you scream. What you perhaps didn't notice is when you saw the bomb from a great distance, you not only saw the bomb, but you heard it. You heard the boom. But sound is a wave, and it needs some medium to travel in. And in space, there's no air or water, so in fact, you wouldn't hear the boom. But of course, from the point of view of the plot, the boom makes it a lot more effective. And so Gene Roddenberry knew about it, and so did the Battlestar Galactica people.
Then there's the mainstay of space sci-fi shows, a way to travel faster than the speed of light. It's called different things, warp drive, faster than light jump drives. If we can clone animals and see light years out into space, then what's the holdup, NASA? Why no warp engines? Lawrence Krauss.
What's kind of amazing is that in some sense we can show it's not impossible. The laws of general relativity tell us that you can do strange things to space and time. And so while Einstein told us you cannot travel through space faster than the speed of light, space itself can do whatever the heck it wants. And so space can expand and contract faster than the speed of light, and that's happening in the real universe. So if you use that fact, you can sort of be carried along by space like a surfer on a wave.
Is this one of those things years from now we'll be seeing in the real world?
No. Because really the way space expands or contracts is you produce intense gravitational fields. And the kind of energy that would be required to produce these kind of gravitational fields would dwarf anything that we can imagine. In fact, I once showed that if you wanted to warp space in a way that would carry a spacecraft from any region from one place to another, the amount of energy that would be required, even in principle, if it were possible, and we don't know if it would be more than the mass of the entire galaxy.
Is there any way someone like me can hit the reset button and relearn physics the right way? Without this fake baggage from sci-fi?
There's a theory in pedagogy that says that really the best way to have explain something and have someone remember it is to confront their own misconceptions, is to, you know, take something that they absolutely believe and show it's wrong. And boy, when they discover that, they'll really remember it. And the great thing about science fiction is it gives us great lots of examples of things that are wrong.
That's physicist Lawrence Krauss talking with our producer, Leo Duran. Leo also spoke with screenwriter Michael Cassatt.